Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another edition of the Mundane Festival podcast. I'm your host, Chris Lamberth. Today is Monday, August 10th, 2020. Thanks for listening. If you like this show, please rate and review it wherever you subscribe, whether it be Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Podbean, Spotify, Google Podcasts. Wherever you listen, if you like this show, rate and review it. Give it 5 stars. Let everybody know why you like it, because it makes me feel better about myself and most of the life decisions that I've made so far. You know, in these troubled times, it's easy to sit back and think about your life and think about all the places where you fucked up and where you could have done better. But as the great poet laureate Sean Carter said, you have to learn to live with regrets. And I think he was right. You have to learn to live with them. Remember, learn from your mistakes and move on and try to evolve. I mean, that's what I'm trying to do. I think that's what most people are trying to do when you think about it. But in these troubled times, if you like something, rate it. You know, this podcast has been going on. I've been doing this for 7 years. Haven't taken that many breaks, have taken very few breaks, and I've been doing it. There's at least 300 of you that listen. Okay. This is a small market podcast. This is a minor league team podcast. That's really good. It's really good. You know, I stand by it. I believe in it. I think it's a great show. I really do. Maybe not the ones where I'm by myself like I am right now, but it's the highest rated episode, I would say, was me by myself. And it had like, you know, for most people, it's a drop in the bucket. But for me, it was a lot. And I'm not going to say the number, but I will say it was a few thousand. And it was me talking about, I think I talked about the Oscars and I talked about female heroines in video games. And I had a cold, too. So that was like my flu game episode. I don't know. You can maybe dig back. I think it's maybe from 2014, but it's there somewhere. But I digress. But if you like the show, there's hundreds of you that like this show, that listen regularly. And there's only about 50 or 60 reviews on iTunes. And I think we could do better. I think we can all do better. If you're not at home, if you're not working, if you're working from home, you could just click on the thing, click on the stars, give it 5 stars and say, I like this podcast. It is good. That's all you need. It makes it look better. It makes me go up in the rankings, and it fuels me into doing more for the show. I don't know. I like doing this. I like talking to people. I don't know. I think you could do your fucking part. You could do your part. Rate and review this thing. It's better for everybody involved. This is episode 442. Like I said, there's no guest. It's just me. I am sitting on my couch. I have NBA TV on mute. Like I said last week, it's good to see basketball coming back, that it's back. And things are getting, they're locking in. Dame Lillard is, upset with Paul George and Patrick Beverley. They had some back and forth over the weekend, and it's good. They're locked in. These guys are in it. Playoffs are starting soon. I have not yet really invested in the NBA, but I'm happy that it's back. I'm happy that for the people that love basketball, I'm happy that they get to enjoy that. And it's a really remarkable thing that the NBA and the WNBA is doing with the protest stuff on their jerseys, the Black Lives Matter stuff. And just the way that they're taking care of the players. It's great. The other sports should have followed suit. I know hockey's doing it. Hockey seems to be. I haven't heard anything, any real negativity from hockey, like anybody catching it. Or I'm not very learned on what the NHL is doing, but it seems like they're doing all right. So, you know, like I told you about that speech last week, that was pretty fucking dope. So I'm happy about that. I got off work a couple hours ago. I talked to one of my friends I hadn't heard from in a couple months. Maybe we'll get back to that a little later. Nothing bad or anything. I went to the grocery store. Man, the groceries are fucking expensive. They're jacking the prices up. I got like 6 or 7 items, and it was like $75. Granted, I got some like fish and some meat, and that, like, when you get like salmon and stuff, it's gonna be expensive. But it's just like, God, all this shit added to, I don't know how many, maybe less than 10 items, like $75. I went to Stu Leonard's, and Stu Leonard's, they're not giving shit away. None of the grocery stores are giving anything away now, but it's because of the virus and everything like that. So, I mean, they are jacking up the prices. So that's that. What else, guys? What else? Last week, trying to think, TPS reports by day. Not much else going on. What was I going to say? Oh, they opened up a new Wegmans near my office, in Westchester. It's really nice. I went there and my boss told me that it was open, and she said, I'm not going in there. They said they had lines wrapped around when they first opened, because I'm an early riser, because my shift is early, they open at 6:00. I went in there before I went to work on Friday, and it's nice. It's Wegmans. I mean, what do you expect? It's Wegmans. Wegmans is the best. I tried there, so I went there today too to get something for lunch. Wegmans, I had some their General Tso's chicken and noodles or whatever on Friday. It hit the spot. It was on point. I was satiated. It was good. I liked it. I like a lot of Wegmans, their prepared food. It was about $9. Very tasty. And then today I went to get some breakfast and like another thing for lunch. And I was like, I was about to get their rigatoni that I never had their pasta before. I think I may have had spaghetti and it was not bad. And I saw that they had rigatoni and I was like, oh shit, rigatoni. I was about to get it, but then I said, oh, let me see. They got Kung Pao chicken. And I was like, Wegmans, you can't really mess up chicken. And I got that. So that was like $10. And I got that, ate that for lunch. Very good. Very good. It was on point. So they're prepared food. I haven't really missed, I don't think. I don't think I've ever missed with their prepared food. Not bad when you're in a pinch, but that shit adds up. And because I'm not going to work every day, I think what I need to do, I just need to cook more at home. I feel more comfortable using the microwave. Nobody's hardly there now. And if you sneak in, although, you know, some people don't have, I shouldn't even be saying this on the podcast. I don't know who lives. I don't care. It's not saying anything that bad about it. But I was in the break room. I know I was on the Black Guy Who Tips last week. Check that out if you haven't already. It was a great, great time. I always love talking to Rod and Karen. They to me, are the Eric and Tammy Taylor of podcasting. And I know, oh my God, how come you ain't say nobody black? But it just seems like Eric and Tammy Taylor are iconic with, like, giving a shit about people, caring. They did a lot for the community that they lived in. And I feel like I feel that there's some parallel with Rod and Karen. Although something pissed me off, not about them, but somebody said this on Twitter, and it was a comedian that was, I don't know if he was more, he's probably more famous and more known than I am. I never heard of the fucking guy, but being a dick, I never heard of it. And I'll get back to the break room. But I never heard of the guy. And he tweeted and everybody was like, oh, yeah. He said that Coach Taylor, he said, who is somebody that you think would vote for Trump? Like one of your favorite white TV characters. Who do you think would have voted for Trump? And he said, Eric Taylor. I don't think he would, though, because Eric Taylor, it's been so long since I've seen Friday Night Lights, but he was coaching the Panthers and then he left And then he was coaching like a hood team. And he had Michael B. Jordan. He had Vince. You know, Michael B. Jordan played Vince. And he took a hood team to like the state championship and shit. And like he cared about those hood kids. I don't think he would have voted for Trump. I don't know. And then someone said that Walter White from Breaking Bad would vote for Trump. I don't think that's true. I think he would have voted for Jill Stein. And they said, oh, he was evil. And he was like an evil drug dealer teacher. But he would have, he might have voted. I think he would have voted. He probably, if he wouldn't vote for Hillary, he'd probably vote for Jill Stein or some third party candidate or something. I don't think he would be a Trump voter. Does New Mexico, what is New Mexico? If New Mexico, is that a red state? New Mexico, I'm just going to go by the governor. New Mexico governor. Michelle Luan Grisham. She is Democrat. Huh. Let me see who was the In 2008, who was the governor? I think I actually did look this up, and I forgot what I. So they. It seems like they flip flop sometimes. Bill Richardson. He was. Let's see. In office August 1998 to January 2001. What was his? Can't you just show what party he was with? Jesus Christ, man. Why do they do this? Why do they make Wikipedia is making this harder than it needs to be. After college, Richardson worked for Republican Congressman F. Bradford Morse from Massachusetts. Oh my God. In 1978, Richardson moved to Santa Fe, New Mexico, and ran for the House of Representatives in 1980 as a Democrat, losing narrowly to longtime First District Representative and future U.S. United States Secretary of Interior Miguel Luján. Wonder is that related to Luján, related to the woman who's governor now. Oh, my God. Was he? What the fuck? Oh, chairman of the Democratic Governors Association. So, nah, he wouldn't have voted. No, Walter White would not have voted for that because he did not like corporations. He did not like gray matter. He left gray matter. They were super rich. If he was a Republican or he cared that much about money, he would have stayed there. And so he just, you know, not that, I mean, even just because he didn't vote Democrat or Republican, I don't think he would have voted Republican. He's still a bad person. He's still a shitty guy. But he would not have voted for Trump. No, he would not have. Oh, the WAP video, WAP, wet ass female parts. hot. They're hot. Cardi B, Megan Thee Stallion, hot. I do not know much of their music. I woke up on Friday morning in a haze, and people. I turned on Twitter, and I said I saw the WAP going all over the place. That video, blah blah blah. I looked at it, and I said these women are hot, and this is a good. All these women in the video are very beautiful, and I. You know, I washed up and got ready to go to work. And then you look at Twitter hours later. I can't believe people are arguing about the video and people are trying to make statements about it. If I was more famous, I tweeted this the other day. I said that people are weaponizing that video to show how much they hate the opposite sex. Or the sex that they're already in. And as people need to chill out. It's a video with a bunch of beautiful women shaking their ass. And we should applaud that. You know, all you got to do is watch. Most people probably watch porn. And I don't see anything that was light work. And people try to talk about these girls, these women. To me, I'm a cis het. Black man, I think women are this most beautiful creature God ever created. And I'm not saying creature like you're animals or anything. One of the most beautiful creations that God ever made. And that's what I'll say. And we should celebrate that. And that's what they were doing. They were celebrating that. It's no different from, I'm echoing what a lot of my colleagues in the podcasting community have said or have probably said. When I was growing up, we had Lil' Kim. We had Janet Jackson. That's the way love goes. Are you fucking kidding me? Are you kidding me? That album cover, Janet. I mean, come on, dude. You know, she was hot. That's the way love. That's the way love goes. I didn't hit that right. I was off key. You know what I'm saying? She was hot. I remember that If video. Like, all I could think as like a 13-year-old kid, just like, I was in love with Janet Jackson. That If video. And she did that breakdown and all that shit. I love Janet. Who else was sexy back then? We had Patra. A lot of people don't bring up Patra, but Patra was hot. She had those videos. I don't remember. Maybe she had a song called Worker Man. Worker Man. Blah, 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 Worker Man. And she would twerk and twitch and jive. And I would watch that video every time. Adina Howard. Are you kidding me? Come on, dude. This ain't nothing new. It's beautiful women singing and dancing, and it's great. Just appreciate it. Everybody's trying to make a stance. We all perform on social media. All the world's a stage, and all the men and women merely players. I get it. I'm a part of it too. I talk about this, the society that I critique it, and I also participate in it. I am no better than you or your neighbor. But I will just say that it's just a little too much. Just these women are hot. Just enjoy it. Who else was hot? I mean, Brandy wasn't. We talked about her on the Black Eyed Tips. I thought she was sexy. Monica was sexy. Madonna was sexy. Like, that Justify My Love was probably. Justify My Love was really freaky. That was more. When did Justify My Love come out? Justify My Love, My Love. When did that song come out? Justify My Love. 1990. Yeah, I was 10. And that was freaky, man. You know? It's all that stuff, man. It's just, it might be a little more graphic, but. You know, those women, I'm trying to think who else back then. Who were sex symbols in the 90s? Madonna. I named Lil' Kim. I named Janet. Patra. Adina Howard. Who else? I mean, I liked a lot of these R&B, like In Vogue. I mean, what? Giving him something he can feel. They were glammed up. They kind of looked like Jessica Rabbit a little bit. They had nice dresses or gowns on or whatever. But I mean, what's the one that was in? What's the lady that was in Lucy Pearl? Is it Dawn Robinson? I wanna dance tonight. Is that Dawn Robinson? Let me see. Dawn Robinson. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, my God. Jesus Christ. Giving him something he can feel. She's 50, 54, maybe. Wikipedia says she was either born in 1965 or 1968. She was bad. I mean, she probably still is hot. But I don't know what she looks like now. But I mean, In Vogue, all of them were gorgeous. She's from Connecticut. Oh, she started, or she's born in Connecticut. Anyway, so many of those girls, those girl groups, Salt and Pepper, What a Man. I mean, those, that video was about those girl, the men, like they were talking about guys as buff guys or whatever. But Salt and Pepper, Pepper, whoo, all those, man, they were hot, you know? And I would watch those videos all the time. All the time. Every time it came, I would just, yeah. So it's nothing, it's just, what's the Tribe Called Quest song? I think it's called Excursions. And I think it's on the Low End Theory. Back in the days when I was a teenager, before I had status and before I had a pager, you could find the abstract, listening to hip hop. My pops used to say it reminded him of bebop, whatever. He said it had a line that says the way that Bobby Brown is just amping like Michael. It's like, that's like the same. It's just like variations on a theme. It's like different. It's like an evolution. And that's what Cardi B and Megan Thee Stallion are. Fucking get over it. You could just not watch it. You could just turn it off. You know, it's not that serious. People just make, I don't know. Part of it's the people are assholes, and then part of it is people just don't have anything to do. You know, I roll my eyes at shit like that. It's just people trying to make statements or trying to boost their, whatever the fuck their agenda is, to just make them seem better than, hot young women dancing, you know, and looking great. You know, that's all it is. What else, guys? Speaking of music, man, we were talking about that that Jaguar Wright, her Instagram live, where she was talking about like spilling all this tea about the Soulquarians and all that stuff. I don't know, some of it, like I we talked about it on the Black Eye Who Tips, and some of it that's like, I forgot to tell you about the break room. I'll tell you about the break room. Jesus, I'm sorry. The break room today. That was something that just like, I was like, oh shit. I found out about that like at 3 a.m. when I should have just went back to sleep, but I just watched all of it. And I think that, I don't know, man. I don't know. That's like my whole like 20s, like they're like kind of the foundation of a lot of the stuff that I listen to. And I don't know. I would be really disappointed if there was more truth to that. But I love that music. That would be hard. Like R. Kelly, you could kind of take it or leave it. Like he had some great songs. R. Kelly had some great songs. But like I think in my early 20s. Is kind of when I just was like, and I was living in Chicago where I was just like, and I think my musical palette expanded a lot more once I got out of college and just the stuff that I was listening to. I was just more like adult contemporary stuff, singer songwriters, indie rock stuff, and not even that much indie rock. It was just like whatever Rilo Kiley was, whatever Jenny Lewis, whatever umbrella they go under, you know, a little bit of pop. And I started working at Best Buy. So I would just kind of check out more. Because I had the discount, I would check out more artists than I normally would. And then there was this store called Reckless Records. I probably talked about it on here a bunch of times. That was like my favorite place to go in Chicago. But yeah, that stuff was, I loved all that music. That they were seminal. Like just thinking about that music that came out in the 2000s that they did at Electric Lady, like Water for Chocolate, D'Angelo's Voodoo, those Roots records. I think maybe Things Fall Apart and maybe Phrenology. I don't know if that was around that time. That was like 02, 03, so maybe you can count that. I'm not sure. But yeah, a lot of that music was just like, I loved it, man. Commons, Electric Circus, that had some joints that really didn't hit for some people, but like I said, like I was vibing with that even back then. It was a little different. I think at the same time it came, it may have come out before Speaker Box and Love Below. What was that? Let me see what that is. Let me see. Common. I'm doing this with one hand. Electric Circus came out in December 10th, 2002. The Speaker Box and Love, that might have came out 04. The Love Below, man, that might have been 03, 04. The Love Below. Bull, I'm spelling it wrong. The Love Below. Let's see. They came, those albums, this album came out 03. So less than a year later. Yeah, I was right. But people just took to Andre more. But Hey Ya was real pop. I don't think anything that Common did, Come Close was the single off that, but nothing was as pop as Hey Ya. And even The Love Below was kind of like, that wasn't a real poppy album, but Hey Ya got people in and made and sold all those records. What was I saying? So then like Friday, I got into a mini Mos Def like rabbit hole. It's like I had my toes in the rabbit hole. I didn't go all the way in. I was thinking about this record called Shinjiro. And I'm not going to play it because I don't want to get dinged. Not that many people listen to this for me to be. But you never know. But I'm not going to play it. I'm trying. I think he did this with DJ Crush, I believe. Because he said, DJ Crush, you get down representing Brooklyn. You know the vibe, baby. I was like vibing out to that. Like I was just like getting ready for work and I was just like in a good mood on Friday morning early, like at 5 o'clock, 5:30, 5 o'clock in the morning and shit. I was just happy that it was Friday. You know what it was? I stayed late at work on Thursday, got some TPS reports done, and I woke up just like ready to attack the day. And it was pretty good. So I was listening to that and I was like, I wanted to hear this other record and now I'm fucking up because I might not know the name of this record now. And Mos Def was just like, Mos Def is one of my, you know this, he's one of my all time favorite MCs. And it's just this song that's just like, it's kind of like a refrain and it's called All Praise Due. And it's really just one, I think he does it. How many times does he do that? The first, it's really just one. It's one verse. Mos Def, All Praise. Damn, I'm going down. I didn't know I was going to be doing this. I had an idea that I might do it, but I didn't. Shit. Oh, this is going to be. Anyway, it's just a dope. It was just like a good, like, listen to it, man. All Praise Due, Mos Def. And it was just like the affirmations, and it kind of got me. I almost got a little emotional because it's like some ancestor type shit that he alludes to, and like talks about like slave ships and stuff. It's really just. I think it's just really just one. He says it's dedicated to all those who rode slave ships, who screamed and cried and survived the ride. But I know my life is better because you weathered the tide. Hard work on this side make truth magnified. Devils can't stop me, but they damn sure try. Yeah, but this, oh my God, this is like my mom just read Psalm, whatever. She'll tell me to read like Bible verses and stuff. I think it might be Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. That's one of them. But like this, like made me think of that. This is like, up just like a song that just like, it almost reminds me, because did I ever tell you that I made a return visit to Swatches and Boomboxes earlier this year? I feel like I did, and I'm sure it's on my timeline, but Mos Def has this song, and we broke down a few of the, we did like kind of like a deep dive into Mos Def's debut solo record, Black on Both Sides, and he's got this song, the intro called Fear Not of Man, you know. Fear not, all across the world, hearts pound with the rhythm. Fear not of men, because men must die. Mind over matter and soul before flesh. Angels hold a pen, keep a record in time, which is passing in, running like a caravan trader. The world is overrun with the wealthy and the wicked, but God is sufficient in the hold of offense. He just like talks about like, I don't know, man. I don't know if you believe in God or what, but it's just like a higher power that is greater than your oppressors. There's something out there. There's a spirit that's greater than you and everybody. And it's just like, it just made me think about that and just made me kind of put things in a perspective. And he's like, fear not of men, because men must die. Mind over matter and soul before flesh. You know, angels hold the pen. Keep the wreck. Man, Young, are you serious? Young, I'm getting, man, come on, man. How great is that fucking guy? That as an MC, I don't know what he's like as a person, but I think sometimes, man, artists can, when an artist is really good, they get to this godlike level of understanding and just this. I don't know, when something moves you like that, it's otherworldly and it makes you feel good, and they transcend the limitations and expectations of our worldly body, of our worldliness, of our humanity, and create something that's beautiful. And I think that artists at their best, they can do that. And I think that sometimes you catch this piece of brilliance, of this godlike thing in whatever the work is. You know, some people say I didn't write that, God wrote it and stuff like that. Fonte was on and he talked about, you know, talked about that in the creative process sometimes. And it just made me think about that. It just made me feel good, like just going back to his work. Like, Mos Def is one of my all-time favorite MCs. I don't know what kind of person he is, but I know he's a fantastic MC. And I was just thinking about that. And so it's three Mos Def songs that I recommend. I know he's Yasiin Bey now, but when he was Mos Def, he had these records that were really good. So I recommend Shinjiro, All Praise Due. And then Fear Not a Man, just kind of that. I just thought about Fear Not a Man, like the last couple weeks for me at doing TPS reports, and then I'll get to the break room there. And it's not even that serious, but it's just like it was just the last couple weeks have just been rough mentally, and like just doing stuff that you think is the end of the world, but it really isn't. You know, with all this stuff going on, there's certain things that they don't matter as much as you think they do. And sometimes you have to think about that. And when I was thinking about when I think about those songs that he did, it just kind of put things into perspective. You still have to work hard. You still have to do what you got to do. But that was something that just kind of moved me. And it just kind of put me in a space to really grind out what I needed to do last week, and just projects that I have coming up and stuff like that. So find that artist that moves you and all that stuff, man. So yeah, I recommend those records. The break room thing, it's just like the 6 feet, and people just don't have like an awareness of space and other people's space. I mean, people like come into your cubicle and shit like that. And I was in the break room, and I was like, there was somebody at the sink, And I was like, ah, shit. So I just waited in. There's a little area. I waited and stood away from it. Then another person came in. She had some stuff going on in the toaster oven. And I wanted to put my food in the microwave, which was next to it. But I was like, don't want to get in her space. But she was like taking her sweet ass time. She could have just let me put my shit. She said, Chris, I'll back up. You can put your stuff in the microwave. And then I'm almost done. And that could have been it. But nobody's like really aware of. She wasn't really aware of that, but I was just like, yo, I mean, could you just like, whatever. It's not that serious. I'll give you, what else did I want to talk about? I'll give you, since I was talking about music, I was going to save that for later, but since we were on music, I'll talk about a recommendation. I'll talk about a couple movies. I think I'll leave one of them out because I'm supposed to talk to my official Indie Movie Corner co-host Jeff Cerulli. I should be talking to him. I don't know if you guys saw this. Speaking of Jeff Cerulli, a couple weeks ago, I did his YouTube show called Old NBA Cards. And it's a show where he goes through a pack of old NBA cards from a bygone era, like the 90s or early 2000s. And we talk about them, we tell stories. And I did one with him, and I think it's a little under maybe like 15 minutes. It's really fun. I had a great time doing it. We talked about some basketball movies, and we opened up some cards, and it's a great time. A friend of the podcast, Reese Waters, did one. It's a couple up there. So if you check out Jeff Cerulli's YouTube page, you can find it. It might still be up there, but he might turn it in. I don't know. But we'll talk about that maybe when he comes back on. But so if that's still on his YouTube, check that out. I did put it on my timeline. So if you dig back, it's not that far back. You can look on the podcast Twitter timeline and my own Chris Lamberth Twitter feed. So that is there, and it's really good. It's really fun. I had a great fucking time doing it. I got jealous that he waited, that I wasn't like in the first batch of people that he did. But so I made him feel guilty, and then I got on the show. So I wanted to talk about this Lupe Fiasco EP that he did with Virgil Abloh and this producer. Kalen Ellis, who I've never heard of him before, but he's very talented and he's got his own stuff out there. Let me see. So I have to check it out. And when I do, I'll let you know. But this is an EP called House. And Virgil Abloh is the fashion designer known for doing the expensive ass Nike Off-White shoes that you can try to get on the sneakers app. You try to get them at retail, and then if you lose, which you most likely will lose, and you end up having to pay $500 or $600 for a pair of sneakers that you could have gotten for $150. I have not. If I ever get a big achievement, if show business ever comes back, and if I book something big, I will buy a pair of those Off-White Air Maxes. Both two pair, the black ones and the desert tan ones with the orange swoosh. But they, this project that they did together, and it's really dope. It's really cool. You know, the production's great. This guy, Kalen Ellis, I'm going to have to check his stuff out. I don't know too much about him, but apparently he's a platinum award winning platinum artist. And, I'm going to definitely check him out. You know what? I'll get to that after I talk about this, but it's really cool. They did this thing with Virgil talking about sneakers and stuff and house, what that means. Lupe's got this record called Dinosaurs, which is interesting, which made me get into this album. I was watching YouTube and I saw where like Joe Budden and his boys were talking about Lupe's album. They're like making fun of him, like, and trying to make fun of the song. And like Joe Budden was like, yo, let me just call Lupe And then, like, Lupe was on the phone. He's like, yo, this is what the breakdown of the song. It's a clip. It's a clip that's out there. You don't have to check out the whole episode, but it was cool. I liked it. And I was like, oh, let me check. They were starting to make fun of it. I paused it, and I went to the song, and I was like, okay, this is interesting. Then I went and looked at the I watched the YouTube clip of them talking about it. Then I went to the page, the Genius page, and was just kind of looking stuff up. Lupe's great. Lupe has to be, he's one of those guys that you kind of forget how great he is. When he first came out, it was so weird because I was living in Chicago. When I got the album, like I saw him at Lollapalooza, had to be in maybe 06. Yeah, because his album came out in 06. But I remember getting his album. I was in the suburbs when I got it, but I was in the Chicago area. And I remember, I think it might have been on a Tuesday, like on release day, going into Best Buy, like in Skokie somewhere. And they were like, who is it? I was like, you live in Chicago. You don't know who Lupe Fiasco is? And I was like, you don't know who Lupe Fiasco is? Oh my God. And it was right in the cart and I got it and it was dope. And yeah, just been a fan ever since. But you kind of lose touch. And then every now and then when you go back to his stuff, it's just like, God damn, this guy's good. I remember when my iPod was working, he had this song called this album's called Set So in Youth. And he's very into like Asian culture, samurai stuff. I don't know what that means. Is it anime? I don't know. One of you nerds can probably tell me. Somebody's head's probably exploding, like that white kid that's like his head, face is turning red and he's got that vein popping out. Somebody's probably doing that right now as I'm talking. But Setso in Youth, he has this record called Mural that's like 8 minutes and 48 seconds long. How long is that song? Because I looked it up on I listened to it today while I was before I left work. And it's he's incredible. This song is like, okay, 8 minutes and 48 seconds. The whole song is a fucking flex. He's got a line about rain as like raining in, like rain, literal weather, raining as a king, then reindeer making all this. It's like you're just really flexing right now, Lupe. This is just insane. And you just kind of forget. And then listening to this record is like, I need to go back and listen to more Lupe, because the last time I kind of had a Lupe binge was, I'm due for one, because it had been probably a couple years ago. But he's great. Like, I got to put him in my top 10. You know, I have my top five is solidified, but yeah, man, he's got to go up there. And even Joe Budden, who doesn't like anything, he just, you know, he's like, yeah, you know, like you're an alien. Like he did say like Lupe was like an alien, meaning like he's so good. Like Lupe, Fonte, Blue, Royce, Elzai, maybe a couple other people that he named before, but like those dudes are just like otherworldly when it comes to rhyming. And I think Fonte is like that too, but Fonte's got this like everyman quality about him that just it doesn't make him seem like he's as great as he is, even though he is as an MC. It's just like, but some of these other guys just are just like robotics. Like Fonte as an MC will kind of make you feel like you could do it, but you can't. And still hold his own with any of those guys that I mentioned. I don't know that he's ever done a song with Lupe, but he damn sure did one with Elzai, and he did one with, well, I can't think of any. Odyssey. Odyssey's not mentioned on there. I think Odyssey's great. I'm trying to think of somebody else that he, you know, he's rhymed with Black Thought and all that stuff. You know, whatever. You know, he's great. Black Thought's project's going to come out soon, I think. But yeah, Lupe is just fucking phenomenal. So it just made this EP is just 22 minutes, and it a lot of it's Virgil talking. It's a really interesting, cool song called Shoes that where like they he talks about like Lupe talks about waiting in line for a certain pair of sneakers for a particular occasion, and then like he kind of talks about Ahmaud Arbery. They do talk about Ahmaud Arbery, and then they talk about like what would Ahmaud Arbery shoe look like. It's really interesting, and this production by Kalen Ellis is fantastic. So I recommend this. Once you get past the talking and stuff, like the first record is track two. The first track, like where Lupe is rapping, is Dinosaurs, and it's pretty interesting. You know, like Lupe does like all that. You know, he's a nerd, and he's fucking great at rapping. You know, so I really recommend it. If you check it out, let me know what you think. I really dig it, folks. Was there something else? I had some other stuff. Let me turn on. Oh, and let me, before we get to the movies, I platinumed the Last of Us Part Two. I got the trophies, and it was really cool. I'm not going to act like, so the first time I played it, I did it without the, without any guides or anything. I just beat it on moderate, level, normal. I just beat it like that. And then with New Game Plus, you get all the weapons that you find, all of the upgrades that you make to your skill trees and stuff. You keep them, and you can't get all the upgrades on the first playthrough. So with New Game Plus, you can upgrade your weapons and keep doing all this stuff and continue and progress through the game, and you're up, like, increase your skill tree level and all that stuff. And so it gives you more of a reason to replay. And this was the first time I replayed something right after, not long after finishing it. I got Ghost of Tsushima like everybody else did, played it a few hours. I like it. It's a good game, but it's just, it doesn't hit the same as Tilu for me. And, you know, but The Last of Us Part Two, I replayed it. Once you get the trophies to pop, if you get all of them, you don't have to finish, but I'll finish it eventually. I got right to pretty much the last chapter, and then I got all of the like collectibles. I did use a guide to find the collectibles just because I was like, I want to see if I can complete this, get the platinum for the very first time in any game. So it was really cool and neat. So I shared it on Instagram and Twitter. It's funny how people are like, oh, congratulations. And like almost, I got more like congrats on that than some of the TV shows I've been on. Nah, I don't know if that's true, but I was joking with a friend about that. But it was pretty cool because I'd never done that. And I like shouted out, texted my man Tajay. He's like, oh, how does it feel? I was like, it feels like I want to do that for all the games now, but I don't know that that's gonna happen. Some of these games is like, it's fucking too much. So the next game, I think I want to go back and start God of War over again, and I need to finish God of War. And I need to finish Control. Days Gone, I don't know if I'm going to go back to that. I don't know. I didn't care for that. But I do this weekend. I low key want to get Cuphead. I high key want to get Cuphead. That's a fun game. I call it Contra on acid. And it's amazing. I bought it last year when I was doing the Borgata, because I was away for a week, I only played it like a couple times, and it's only because I was playing it on my laptop, and it's not the same than playing it on your big screen TV. So I think I'm gonna buy that. It's only $20. I think I'm gonna buy that and try to play that. But it's super hard, and I don't think there's any difficulty level, so it's just fucking hard. So it's very old school, and the artwork is amazing. So, I'm gonna maybe get that. I want to, and then PlayStation 5, I'm excited about it. And I'm going to, you know, I'm going to get it eventually, but I don't know that I'm that pressed to get it on release day. I had to get my car fixed. I still got more shit to do with my car. And I don't see myself. It wouldn't be prudent for me to do it. And then the games, other than the Miles Morales Spider-Man, I'm not that excited, you know? Like, I'm excited for, I mean, you know, like, I can... That, yeah, I'm not that excited. I will be getting one, but not until, like... When you start to talk about the new Horizon Zero Dawn, that's going to be different. New Horizon joint, like, I'm going to definitely be all over that. But it doesn't give me the goosebumps like that T-Lu, man. And plus, I already bought a PS4 Pro. That was like six months ago. And I'm still enjoying my PS4. So that's a testament to this generation of games, like the AAA games. So now, like, Tajay was telling me, there's a guy, Dom the Bomb, on YouTube, and I looked it up, saw this on Polygon, that they gave me a pop-up saying that, so there's going to be a new grounded mode of The Last of Us that's an update, and they're going to have this thing called permadeath, which means, like, if you get to the game and you die once, your ass is going to have to start over from the beginning. And you know what? I don't give it. I'm not playing that. That's too much stress. There's no way that, like, let me see. Cause it's going to be like DLC, because people were kind of complaining that there wasn't a grounded mode. Like, I never played grounded on the first one. I never really gave a shit to really, let me find this for you. On Monday night, Naughty Dog updated the PlayStation trophies for The Last of Us Part 2, revealing some new modes coming to the game: permadeath options and the return of the original game's grounded mode. In The Last of Us, Naughty Dog added the hyper-difficult grounded mode after launch. This mode triples enemy damage, removes listen mode, the tool that helps players track nearby enemies, removes the HUD, and offers next to no supplies strewn about the world. There are also fewer checkpoints. It's currently unclear how similar grounded will be in The Last of Us Part 2. If players manage to beat the sequel on this setting, they'll earn the Dig Two Graves trophy. According to the DLC update, players can also turn on a permadeath mode in The Last of Us Part 2. In other games, permadeath suggests failure at a single death, meaning players would need to start over at the beginning if they die. The You Can't Stop This trophy goes to the players that complete the story on any permadeath setting, which suggests players can apply permadeath to multiple difficulty types. Huh. So even if you put it on very light, even you die. Oh my God. That's too stressful, man. I can't do that shit. The game is also always stressful enough. Talk to one of my good buddies. He's a friend of the podcast, the homie. Shout out to my man, Scott Stanglin. He beat it today. He just beat it. And he texted me. And he's the second person that beat the game that I talked to him right after he beat it. And we talked for almost an hour. We talked about other shit too, but we talked for about an hour. And he binged on it. And I was like, damn, you were more of a psycho than me, because I would have finished in about 2 or 3 days. I got it on Friday, 12 a.m. and beat it maybe like 3 or 4 o'clock on June 22nd. And I probably would have beaten it sooner if I wasn't doing podcasts. People were trying to make me do podcasts and shit Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. I beat it in 4 days. I'd have beat it probably on the 21st if I hadn't done those podcasts that I did. I would have just gotten through this to finish the story, but because of that, I was I didn't. But he put that shit in shifts. I mean, this game is incredible. He was just talking about it. It was good to get another actor's perspective on it, and we were just talking about it. And it's even with whatever the, and then another friend beat it. Another friend, you know, shout out to Andrew Short, one of the first one of my first guests on the show. He was in the first batch where I just did like a huge chunk and was putting out a really, really great dude. I love that dude. And he was saying that, you know, he's like, yeah, it was incredible. And he kind of put stuff into perspective. He put this game into perspective for me when he said, you know, and I'm like him in a lot of ways, because I would say that I'm a casual gamer. Somebody said that I was officially a nerd gamer, but I'll take it. But I still think I'm a casual, because I don't, this is my first platinum. I am not like Tajay, where I'm not good like that. Like I'm not good. I don't know. I'm afraid to put that shit on Survivor Plus and Grounded and all that shit. It would just freak me out. But anyway, what was I saying? The homie Andrew Short, he said, you know, I'm kind of easy to please when it comes to video games. And I really like the game. And he said, one of my friends was just complaining about all the things that he hated. And he said, I just laughed and I kind of felt sorry for him. Because it's just like, oh, it's just a game. If you don't like it, just, you know, fine. It's like, I didn't like it, whatever. But he was just like, it's just like, yeah, I kind of felt bad for him. And then just being, because if you tell me a good story, the cinematics was good. There's a guy on YouTube called Michael Does Life, and he calls, he's a troll because he likes Sony because he has a PlayStation, but he calls people snoy fanboys. Like, check him out. He's pretty funny. I mean, he's, you know, whatever. But anyway, I thought that was funny. But like, I love this game. I think this is the best game I ever played in my life. To me, it surpassed the first one. I don't think you can get to part two without having part one. So it's like, if you say, I mean, maybe it's a 1-2. Part two is one. Part one is my number two. It's a fantastic game. And again, it's not for everybody. And I think I might have Rod on to do a spoiler cast in the near future. So we'll see. And just to get Rod's perspective, because I always like, you know, we touched on it a little bit, but I think I'll try to get him on the show to do a spoiler cast. Another one. And maybe I'll make it Patreon. I don't know. But it's always good to hear Rod's perspective on anything. So we'll see what happens. What else? I wanted to give you... Let me give you a couple movie reviews and we'll be out of here. So I was really excited to see this movie called The Tax Collector with Shia LaBeouf. And this was written by and directed by David Ayer, who wrote Training Day. He directed Fury, End of Watch. Like, he did, I think he wrote Bright. I don't know. Let me look at his IMDb just to be more specific. I know he wrote Training Day. A Train Days to Rip MCs. A vegan, but I still got to get that cheese. Who's that from? That's Common. From Electric Circus. Let's see. He directed Bright. He directed Suicide Squad, Fury, Sabotage, End of Watch, Street King, Harsh Times. So a lot of he's done these like L.A. hood movies. And this one's like about like Mexican gang. And Shia LaBeouf plays an enforcer. He's not the main character, actually. So he's an enforcer. Let me read you. The Tax Collector, bro. Two enforcers for a crime lord face an uncertain future when an old rival reappears. Um, Shia LaBeouf takes in $317,000. People pan this movie. This is 21% on Rotten Tomatoes. I don't think it's that bad. People are talking about like Shia is trying to do like be a Mexican, but I don't think he's not trying to be Mexican. He's just like Shia is one of my favorite actors. I don't know. Like it seemed like in this one he was trying to do a Mexican accent. And he was going in and out. So I don't know what... Shia's always going to be, to me, like this cool... Like a cool guy. A down guy. That's not really... It doesn't seem like he's really trying. But it seems like he knows... He just grew up around people of color. You know? Yes, people are mad about this movie. About what he did. Apparently people were clowning it on Twitter. And shit like that. It's okay. The ending got kind of weird. And it got like crazy violent in this one scene. But I don't know that I would recommend this movie for you to drop $7 or $8 on this. Because it's something that you could wait for. If you're not a Shia LaBeouf fan like me, you can wait. And he's not the star of this. But it's your standard issue, kind of your crime drama. It's not anything new under the sun. Although I did not mind this David Ayer's like Street Kings or I don't remember. I don't know. I don't know if I remember Harsh Times that well. There was one hood movie where Anne Hathaway was in it, where she was hooking up with a Mexican dude. But I don't know if that's this one. I don't know if that... And she was kind of hot in that. I think Anne Hathaway's hot. She's like, Anne Hathaway's hot. Harsh Times. Oh my goodness, I'm tired. I am sorry. My apologies, folks. I want to wrap this up soon. Harsh Times. He wrote and directed Christian Bale, Freddie... No, this is not... A tough-minded drama about two friends in South Central Los Angeles and the violence that comes between them. Harsh Times was okay. I remember liking that. Yeah, it's just like one of those L.A. those hood movies. It's okay. People like to trash shit on Twitter anyway. But I would say you can wait for this. Like, you can wait for it to come on, like, Hulu, Netflix, or HBO or something. It's not that serious. You can wait for Redbox. You know, it's okay. You know, it's entertaining. And Shia was kind of going in and out of his, like, I don't know what he was doing. I don't know if he was trying, he's not Mexican. He just kind of, that's the area he grew up, he grew up in. And that's the people that, you know, took him in. That was his, like his family, around that culture and stuff. I don't know, because it'd be something like, hey, buddy, hey, Holmes, that's it, you know. And then he would just sound like his normal, he'd use his normal dialect, normal accent, you know. It's okay. Not something you have to see. Okay, so this, you don't have to see this right away. Another movie, since I won't do the indie, I'll do this. This is kind of an indie. I'm starting to like this film. I think it's from Gravitas Ventures, which is a film company. They put out independent and art house movies. This movie called The Rest of Us, starring Heather Graham, is the biggest star in here. Heather Graham, to me, now I don't want black women to get mad at me. So I will make another comparison. I think Heather Graham, Swingers, one of my all-time favorite movies. She was the girl in Swingers at the end that Jon Favreau's character Mike builds up the courage, talks to her, and he hits it off with her. That movie leads you to believe that they have potential to be in a long-term relationship with each other. She played a great dream girl. I went out with the girl one of my bits in Failed Running Back is a girl that's like that. When I talk about the, if you listen to Failed Running Back, the girl that I had a big chunk about, like that, that was the potential of being like that Heather Graham. She would have, could have been my Heather Graham in Swingers girl. I would say, as far as dream girls are concerned with black actresses, I would say Sanaa Lathan in Love and Basketball. I would say, like, I don't want to say Gugu Mbatha-Raw in Beyond the Lights, because also another, but two Gina Prince Bythewood movies. Monica in Love and Basketball, great dream girl, ideal, dope woman. Beyond the Lights is a little too, it's kind of like, that's more of a fantasy because she's a pop star. But this girl, I don't remember what did, I just watched Swingers about 2 weeks ago, and I don't remember what Heather Graham's character did in that movie. She just moved to LA, and I think she might have been a lawyer. I think she's like an entertainment lawyer or something, and she was working to do that. She had ambition, she had goals, but you didn't know too much about her, but she just seemed like this sweet girl whose fangs probably came out later. I think Heather Graham, dream woman, in really dope chick in Swingers. I liked her. Sanaa Lathan, dope black dream girl in Love and Basketball. Gugu Mbatha-Raw, obviously dream woman forever. More of a grounded role when she played like this working actress in Easy. God, she's the, oh my God. I can't wait to see her new movie that's coming out soon, Misbehavior. That should be good. Anyway, I'm off track. Heather Graham, so she's the star of this movie. A divorced mother and her daughter must contend with living in the same house as the ex-husband's second wife and daughter following his unexpected death. This movie is currently on Hulu, 90% on Rotten Tomatoes. This movie is called The Rest of Us. Not The Last of Us, but The Rest of Us. Really good. Just a solid movie. Hour and 20 minutes. They get to the point. There's a nice little swerve that if you really pay attention, you can see it. You kind of see it coming. And I didn't really see it coming, but it was just like, oh, that makes sense. And then they kind of take it from there. But it's just like a solid ass movie. You know this type of movie is? This is one of those movies where you watch it on a Sunday before you turn in, like to get ready to go to work on Monday. And just like, it's very like, I feel satisfied by that. I feel entertained. This movie was in the pocket. It's very solid. It's just a solid movie. It's one, and I like Heather Graham. Yeah, I'm a fan. Dream woman in, just a cool chick. And I don't think she's like a manic pixie dream girl either. She's too old to be manic pixie dream girl, I would want to say. Not like your Natalie Portman. I got to get a woman on here and talk about that. Yeah. That just made me think. I got to think about that. She was not a manic pixie dream girl. Let me make sure I get the definition, and then we'll wrap this shit up, manic, because it just made me think about that. I was thinking about that today when I was thinking about Heather Graham. She just reminded, just like a cool girl. I've dated, so the girl that I talk about in Failed Running Back was not a manic pixie dream girl. She was just a dope chick, and it didn't work out because she was going through her shit. And I liked her more than she liked me. There was another girl, another woman that I dated. a while back. Dated like a while ago. Yeah, she was like the summer in 500 Days of Summer. She was cold-blooded, and she was a beautiful black woman. Yeah, let's not talk about my dating history anymore on this show. Just not, or at least not today. Manic Pixie Dream Girl. A type of female character depicted as vivacious, appealingly quirky, whose main purpose within the narrative is to inspire a greater appreciation for life in the male protagonist. No, she wasn't that. No, she was just like a cool chick. Like, I think we connect, like we hit it off, and there's a vibe there. And maybe we could get it in, do some, we could build something, stay low and build, we could build. So, Heather Graham was not that. She seemed like a character, even though you see her in that one sequence. And then you hear her on the phone when she's talking to him, towards the end of the movie. Yeah, man. Yeah. Dope chick. Guys, I think that's it. I think I've blabbed enough. I think you've had enough of me. Sorry the podcast was late. I was platinuming The Last of Us 2, and I just didn't feel like, I almost didn't feel like doing one this week. So I hope that you got something out of this. I hope this got you through work, your commute, laundry, something. Listen to those Mos Def songs. Listen to that new Lupe. You can listen to Failed Running Back. Listen to Failed Running Back on Spotify, Tidal, Deezer, Google Play. Buy it. You know, it's out there. It was the number one album on iTunes for a weekend. It was in the number one for most of half the day when it came out. And it was in the top 100 for a weekend. So it did really well. It's still out there. Listen to it. Buy it. It's good. And maybe when show business opens back up, I'll do a full length and really have some. I mean, those were some bars on the first one, but you know we'll be even better. So. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. If you bought Failed Running Back, thank you again. I'll talk to you next time. Take it easy, everybody.